Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know, the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Fresh off some thrilling basketball, some NCAA March Madness, and boy, Kentucky got lucky, pulled that one out. But you know, hey, it is what it is, and you got to catch a little bit of luck along the way. And you know, as we started our weeks up now with a little bit of a look back at what happened last week, and you know, basically nothing happened last week. I mean, the markets were essentially trading as if they were closed the entire week, with the exception of Wednesday, where we had basically just a 300-point down day. I think you can agree with me that there really wasn't much going on. We did see some actions, obviously, in some individual stocks, which we always see. I don't think that has changed. No matter what direction that you think the market is going to go, there are always going to be stocks and commodities and things that are going to go counter or against what you think. But at the end, it's really been a very tough market, especially if you're an active trader, because there has not been enough action to trade. Volatility has totally left the building. You know, as we compare the measure of the VIX, and if we look now that we are now down on the year once again for, you know, I don't know, the fifth or sixth time this year, we see that volatility is also down on the year, which would be a good indication that last week's selling pressure was more profit-taking than fear, that maybe some fund managers are liquidating out for the quarter. Maybe they want to make their quarterly reports look good, so they're taking some profit off the table. I don't have the exact answer, but certainly I would say that to me, the markets are not ready to make that big awaited correction and collapse. You know, as much as many of you out there are very bearish the market, obviously I am one of them. However, I am not overly chasing down this market. You know, there's going to be much better opportunities to get involved if and when. Now, we know that it's a mathematical certainty that we will have a correction, but you can't tell when. Now, I know that some of you may get telegrams from the stock market saying, hey, we're going to correct now, but unfortunately, I've never been privy to that information, and I'm always left to read the charts, and the charts are certainly not indicating that the market has come to a halt. The ever chase for yield is still a concern if you want to be bearish the market, because again, we look to where are we going to put our money. If we don't put it in the equity markets, where will we put it? So there's still enough reason to believe, with the Fed intervention and the central bank manipulation and the legalized Ponzi scheme that we are seeing run, that the markets can still continue a rally. Now, there is, you know, reason to watch. You look at the bond markets, the 10-year now under 2% again, looking to be heading towards 1.5%. So you have to ask yourself, yes, I know that the data is horrible. Yes, I know that we're not seeing a great deal of earnings growth. Yes, I know all of this information that under normal circumstances would indicate that the market should be on its way down, but it's really not. I mean, if you take a good look, you know, I think you say, well, we're down, you know, 3% from the all-time high Okay. You know, not very much. I mean, I don't know that we've made, other than the Russell, a 10% total correction yet. And the corrections that we have seen so far have been swift and fast and let you get back in right away if you chose to do so. But I think if you look deeper into the tape, if you look deeper into the messages that the market is sending, the market, in my opinion, is waiting for a reason to sell. I think it wants to go down. You know, we talk about like it's a person. But I do think it wants to go down. But again, I don't think it has reason to go down. And that is always going to be the long-term problem when we think about it and we look at it and we go, well, why isn't it going down? Well, because, again, the market is absolute and it's being either held up. Well, it's not either. We know that it's being held up artificially based on policies that are being delivered by our Federal Reserve and central banks around the world. That we know as a matter of certainty. Because when we look and we go, okay, what can possibly keep this market higher? Well, again, when you have to put your money in to get yield, in other words, you have money that you know you're trying to live off of, but you don't have enough to live, so you need it to continue to generate income off of the money that you have so that you can stay in the lifestyle that you wanted to, that becomes an issue. Now, as we've talked, you know, many times here on the Bubba Show, markets get overcrowded on one side or the other. We've seen that happen in the euro currency, and especially in the last couple of weeks. You know, the euro currency has rallied 5 full cents since its most recent low, which is something that we talked about on our Monday call at great length. Is yes, I'm very bearish the euro currency itself, but I can certainly see that the trade became too crowded to the short side. And if there's no sellers left to push it down, well, then it most likely will have a spike rally. So we did have the spike rally, and I am bearish euro currency, and I would be looking for a place to sell it. Okay, I believe that the dollar is going to remain extremely strong, so I would be looking for a place to buy the dollar. But, you know, we can't say when, but now we've seen this big move, especially in the euro currency. And the reason that's important is because when bear markets have the most vicious bull rallies because they trap you. They trap you into thinking that either A, you have to panic and get out of your short position, or B, that the rally looks so good that how could I not want to participate in it? The equity markets have not shown that type of activity yet, indicating to me that there is still more room. You know, if we look at it as Noah's Ark here, there's still more room that we can put people on the boat before it becomes too crowded. So, as bearish as I want to be, as ugly as I think everything looks, I cannot be convinced at this point yet that we are going to see the major down move that we would like to all expect, and quite frankly, would be much healthier for the market in the long run. But the markets will continue, and they will trade, and we will see, and we will look for opportunities. But until we get a good track on that we are breaking out of this consolidation range, because that's really what we're in, we're going to continue to sit and be more cautious, more looking to observe, waiting for more clues from the market. And the clues that I want you to keep in mind is, where do we go next and how is the tape action look? But more importantly, make sure that you have the best software working for you when you are trading. And that would be Thinkorswim, the software that was built by traders for traders, the choice of the Badger and myself right here on The Bubba Show. If you need any help getting in, just email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. I can help hook you up. In the meantime, we're going to step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. We'll be right back after the break. Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. Will be right
here. Stay with me now. Listen up. This is philosophical. Mud grips, white tip. Cigars sticking out of my face. Earnhardt Red. racing sticker on the window, banged up fender. 4x4, straight pipe roar, primer and rust all over the door. Scarred up knuckles, mag belt buckle, white t-shirt.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, man, I get to smile. Been a rough one, but I got my friend on the line. Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. All about town, knows everything. And more importantly, she's a good friend of mine and a regular contributor to The Bubba Show. Welcome, Jane King.
Hey, Todd. Nice to be here. Happy Friday.
It's always good to have you on because, you know, you're always laughing, you're always smiling, no matter what's going on. And I know your overall schedule is brutal. I mean, it's hard to do what you do. I mean, just so you guys know, Jane works overnights and she's got two young kids. And, man, I don't know how you do it, but I give you a hell of a lot of credit because it is a hard process to do that. But, man, you're building a great business, and you just keep growing. How'd the inaugural go with King TV?
Oh, it went great. So Seattle now, and talking to them every morning about 9 o'clock Eastern time. So I guess it's about 6 o'clock their time. And there's been a lot of great Seattle news for them, like Costco news and Microsoft and Amazon, and Amazon's back in the news again today. So it's been good to be back, and my son is a huge Seahawks fan, so we've had a little fun with that as well. I don't know why. He's never been to Seattle. Well, he loves Russell Wilson, the quarterback, so that's why he's a Seahawks fan, and we've had a little fun with that, too.
That's awesome. So Jane, we've had a challenging week, but really a week that I say has been, you know, yeah, we had some down days, and it's been basically down, but there really hasn't been any panic to the market. Are you seeing any panic in this market at all?
No, I don't think so. Now, we had a pretty deep drop earlier this week where it felt like maybe we could kind of get there, but things have settled down since then. But, yeah, I mean, it's been a rough week. We're down. We're back, I believe, either even or negative for the year with the major indexes. So you can see, you know, the concern about the upcoming earnings season. There's more talk about how that is going to be disappointing. We just heard from Restoration Hardware. They said the West Coast port strike is going to be impacting their earnings in a negative way. We'll hear from BlackBerry. That's going to be an interesting one. And, of course, the interest rate hike. That looks like it's going to be happening sometime later this year. So all those things coming together, and people just taking some profits, especially in tech and biotech this week.
Yeah, and I think, and I believe in that it's profit-taking. It looks, you know, it looks more like a quarterly clean up my books. It looks more like, you know, yeah, you know, we're up at such high levels on such bad news that maybe it's time to take a little bit off the table. So I'm looking at this more as a profit thing, and it doesn't mean that it won't turn into a debacle, but right now it looks just to be pretty stoic and pretty steady. There doesn't look to be a lot going on. Are you seeing anything out there, you know, in your travels? I mean, you are truly, you know, multi, you know, across the globe, basically. Is there anything you're hearing from any of the outside stations or anything that we should be concerned about?
Well, of course, I've got a real strong eye on Texas and oil prices. That's been just devastating for that state and in any state, in Oklahoma and North Dakota, that relies, that has done so well in recent years on the fracking and expansion of oil. And so now they're really hurting with this crash that we've seen in oil prices. So, you know, I still, you know, I talk to Texas every day and about, you know, they're Austin's the third fastest growing city, Midland, Odessa, and the top 10 fastest growing cities, according to the Census Bureau. That's all going to change. I mean, those numbers were really till July 2014, and that's really when we started to see oil prices. So in terms of regions, that's where I'm seeing the most dramatic impact is with the sudden drop of oil. You know, I talk to San Diego every day. There's got a big biotech industry there. Biotech was hit hard this week. So, you know, different parts of the country is feeling things differently. But I think the overriding thing is that this stock market that we've seen over the past few years has been Fed-driven. It's been easy money-driven, and that's starting to come to an end now.
Now, I'm hearing some rumors, and you live there, but I'm hearing that New York, they're having some trouble with the real estate markets there now. I want you to tell me if that's true, and I'll tell you what I've heard, and then you can tell me if you've heard the same thing, that, you know, because of the overwhelming strength in the U.S. dollar right now, a lot of the foreign concerns who buy a lot of those big, expensive properties in New York, obviously with the rotation in the dollar, I mean, the euro going from, let's say, 140 to, you know, 110, you know, that's a 30% haircut, which makes the when they want to buy something, a 30% premium to buy. Is that, are you hearing that? Is there any truth to that rumor?
Well, I can tell you that I see an awful lot of commercial properties open. And just in my neighborhood, which is downtown New York, Tribeca area, we've probably had 20 to 30 small businesses. I don't want to say go under, but not renew their leases because the landlords have been asking so much. So, you know, a lot of these are small restaurants. There's some retail shops. Times Square here in New York, the Toys R Us store is talking about leaving. It's not a profitable store for them, but it's, you know, a marketing thing, and they get so much traffic. So, and so much publicity, free publicity on TV, because there's so much media in Times Square. So it feels like it's definitely starting to slow down. I think people got a little nuts asking for, you know, crazy rents that weren't justified. And it's starting to slow down a little bit. So now in terms of real estate, in terms of residential real estate, I do have some friends that have bought in the past few months, and they've paid up, and in some cases higher than the asking price. So that may be coming to an end too, but I know there's a lot of foreign money that's coming in and buying, especially like around Central Park and some of the big neighborhoods around there.
Okay, so, you know, I mean, it just feels to me, it feels to me that we're in trouble. Okay. You know, and I've said, you know, I've been bearish for a while, so I'm not, you know, changing my tune, but it, now it feels to me like the end is near. You know, it's always darkest before midnight, and you know, it just feels to me that we're getting very close to some pretty bad stuff. You know, we've been able to sweep under the carpet all of the bad news. We've had terrible economic data, and it doesn't really look like it's going to get better all of a sudden, and nor do I think that the overall companies, I don't think anybody's prepared for anything right now. I think they've been too busy hoarding all their cash and not mm-hmm. really putting it to work. What do you think?
Well, I get concerned. We've talked about this before, about the amount of debt out there. Now, there are some people, you know, like Warren Buffett, you know, who could put $10 billion into a Heinz and Kraft deal, but there aren't a lot of people that can do anything like that. So most people have a burdensome amount of student debt. You know, there's all kinds of studies showing this is delayed people buying homes because they're still paying off their debt. There was a story out this week about the 401k plan and how it's kind of been a failure. And one of the reasons is because parents are putting so much money to educate their children that they've only got an average American $18,000 in a 401k plan. I mean, that is not even close to being able to retire on. I mean, they won't even cover your health care for a year. So there's not a lot of flexibility. If something would go wrong in this market, and so we would see the job losses like that we saw back in 2009, if that would happen, that would be a real calamity.
Yeah, and I agree with that. So what, when you're looking and you're around, and again, I'm lucky when I have you on because you are a not only a big city girl right now, but you do come from the Midwest, and what are you hearing from your family in Indiana?
Well, you know, it's a slow time, and they're very anxious to get in the fields. It's getting to be about that time that the tractors should be starting to roll here, and they should be planting. But it's been wet. The conditions haven't been quite right to get in the field. But they're not going to panic until it gets to be about Mother's Day. And I've even known some farmers that have planted, like, in June. So... and they had good crops. I mean, they were fortunate. They, you know, it was a late frost. And as long as you can hold off that frost long enough, it doesn't really doesn't matter when you plant it. But they're ready. They're chomping at the bit. And we go through this every year. You know, it's been cold. It's been snowy in the Midwest. A lot of bad weather. And they're ready to get out in the field. So hopefully they'll be able to do that in the next week or so, at least get started.
Yeah, I mean, I know they've got a ton. I mean, they need a ton of silos, right? They have so much in storage because they're not selling it yet. And, of course, it's amazing. That will change, too, especially if the dollar starts to, you know, turn back over the other way. You know, we'll see them. All of a sudden, that oversupply will become, where was all that supply? It's all gone, and prices will rise again. I do think that, you know, for the farmers, that prices are probably at rock bottom or pretty close to that. So, you know, now, of course, we have that always that special, that treat from Jane King, the Ka-Ching Report. So is there any exciting? What do we got that's exciting this week?
Well, one of my favorite stories this week actually is from your hometown of Chicago, a fire at a fire extinguisher plant. And, you know, you'd think there might have been something, some kind of tool around. They could use to help put out the fire. But anyway, it's just ironic. Life is ironic, and a fire at a fire extinguisher plant is ironic.
Jane King, you are, you know what, you always bring so much good stuff, and you are one of the top in the game. I give you kudos. Thank you, as always, for contributing to the Bubba Show.
Thank you, Tom. Have a great weekend.
This was Jane King. Make sure you check out the Ka-Ching Report, Lila Max Media, KNG-TV in Seattle, and everywhere else. This is the Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Marjorie said, Roy, you ain't listening to me. I've got a whole lot more to say. Lord, just cross the
Bubba Show listeners, you know what a big fan I am of Thinkorswim, the platform built by traders for traders. And you also know that Bubba can help hook you up. All you have to do is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. But what I wanted to talk to you about today is that through the month of January, every Wednesday night, Thinkorswim is going to have a special webinar. Whether you are a beginner or an intermediate, they've got two separate ones that will help you become a better master of the platform that you're using, which ties into what Bubba does here on the show every single day. So every Wednesday night, it's 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, Thinkorswim will offer a one-hour, either beginner or intermediate webinar that will help you become a better trader. If you want to get hooked up, just email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I will give you all the details of all the different webinars that Thinkorswim is offering. Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. What's up, Bubba Show listeners? Bubba here. You know, I've always thought of ways to better educate and better help the individual trader and investor, as well as some of the brokers out there. But one of the things I always found out was the lack of real good, solid information. You know, are you tired of the fear ads? Are you tired about the fear mongers grabbing out to you and telling you how the world is coming to an end? We all know that the market has had a dramatic run here, and at some point it's going to sell off and there's going to be a big correction, and we're going to have another bear market at some point. Does that mean you should pull your investing out? Does that mean you should change things? Well, Bubba has a couple of strategies to offer you, and we do talk about options protection for a long-term portfolio and how to keep you in the game. But one of the things that we do have coming out in the year 2015 is I have assembled a team of experts that are going to put together a monthly newsletter for everybody that will come out the first of every month talking about the overall market conditions, whether you talk about commodities, alternative investments, equities, oil, everything that you can imagine that you can be involved in. And we are going to do this each and every month. We've got the top guys in the business, Keith Bliss, Scott Chalady, myself, the Badger. We're all going to be writing and contributing to this particular newsletter. And this is something that will be each and every month. The first of the month will be delivered to you through email. We're going to be working on this. The subscription fee for this is $99 a year. You will get 12 issues loaded with strategies, webinars. You'll be invited to webinars. It will be the answer to all of your investing needs. All you need to do is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org and say, I want to be part of that letter. I want to be ahead of everybody else, because you will be there if you do so. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org right now, and we'll get you hooked up. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. As we start to move into 2015, don't you think it's time you started to take care of your portfolio? Don't you think it's time that you decided that you were going to be the one in control? Don't you think it's time that you take control of your investing life? Well, Bubba's got just the answers for you. You know, if you stay with me on the Bubba Show, you know that I talk often about how to protect your portfolio, what to do. Well, now I'm going to make available to you some great trading tips on how to better improve your portfolio, how to better improve your trading performance. And all you have to do to get those is to email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I'm going to hook you up. Again, we're going to continue to build the website. We're going to continue to build the business. So all you need to do is email me to bubba@thebubbashow.org and say, I want some help. I want to be better in 2015. Email me, bubba@thebubbashow.org. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you today. And wasn't Jane King good? She's always got good stuff to say. I love listening to Jane. But I want to share with you a interview that was done by Bill Whittle a while back. I think that you'll enjoy it. I think that you'll get a couple of good chuckles, but I think it will also make you think back to some of the issues that we are now experiencing in this country and some of the things that have gone wrong over the last few years. I think that there's a lot to it. And again, as I say, there is no perfect, there isn't perfection. There's always going to be issues and things involved, and we can never just blame one person. However, as we all know, the last 6 years have not been very good for us, the middle class, or us, the United States of America, the best corporation, the best place to be. But let's check out what Bill Whittle has to say. I think you'll enjoy it. Make sure you stay tuned, and we'll be back in a little bit.
They've been kind enough to let me make just a few remarks tonight, and I would like to point out something about this recent debacle that we just had. And I think the fundamental issue for me for the takeaway is the problem that we've had as conservatives and Republicans for the longest time, and I mean for 10, 15, 20 years now, certainly since Ronald Reagan, is that as conservatives, we do not believe our own philosophy. Certainly that's true for most Republican politicians, with the notable exception of Ms. Bachman, who's sitting here tonight and who we'll hear from later on. But the fact is, the GOP leadership and all of the national level candidates, again with one or two exceptions, are victim of Stockholm syndrome. The pop culture has beaten them up so severely that they are utterly unwilling to stand for what they claim to believe in publicly. They're in a way ashamed of it. Now, I think that Mitt Romney was one of the best men I've ever seen. And I think you could make a compelling case that as an individual man, Mitt Romney may have had the finest moral character of any candidacy for the president, going back to George Washington, a remarkably decent and good man, remarkably, astonishingly. And every week I got to know him better, I liked him better and better and better and better and better. But on some level, one of the problems we have is that on some level, Mitt Romney didn't even believe his own, he didn't even believe his own life story. Again, I do not wish to criticize him. I admire him enormously. But I can give you an example of how subtle this is and how pervasive it is when I say that Mitt Romney didn't believe his own message. He didn't believe his own story. Forget about the Republican Party story. For example, you would hear the press talk to Mitt Romney, and they would ask a question along the lines of, "Oh, Mr. Romney, you're worth $200 million. How can you possibly connect with the American people?" Now, a candidate who actually believes his own party's philosophy would answer that question perhaps like this. "Well, first of all, Ms. Crowley, I'm not worth $200 million. I'm worth $250 million. Please do not remove the $50 million from my bank account that I have worked very, very hard to obtain. I might point out to you, first of all, that every single one, of the $250 million in my bank account was given to me freely through no coercion. I'm not the government. I didn't have the power to take it at gunpoint through taxation. It was given to me freely in trade for value that I provided to other people. And people never trade down. No one trades down. So that means that other people in this country felt that I gave them more than $250 million of value in exchange for the $250 million I have in my bank account right now. I'd like to point out also that as you can see from my tax returns, which I released prior to running for president, that I've paid $60 million in taxes over the course of my lifetime, and I expect to pay quite a bit more than that before I die. So who's really helping the poor people here? Who's actually helping poor, disadvantaged Americans? I've paid $60 million in taxes, which have gone to entitlements, welfare, Social Security benefits, all of these things. Community organizers have paid precisely nothing. They hand out forms, But the forms that people fill out to get benefits are paid for by people like me. And now we get to the root of it, Ms. Crowley, because the real reason I'd like to answer this question directly is the reason that I have $250 million in my bank account is because I and my associates have generated, we're able to approximate, approximately $5 billion of wealth for this society. $5,000 million is about the number that we've generated, which means that the $250 million that I've kept is but a tiny sliver of the total amount of wealth that we've generated for everybody. People all across this country, thousands if not tens or maybe even hundreds of thousands of people, have gotten paychecks as a result of the work that we do. We haven't just given them handouts. I pay taxes so people can have handouts, but we have paid salaries, and that is people's car payments, and it's their children's college tuitions, it's mortgage payments. All of this is generated by the work that we do, of which I've kept a tiny sliver, which is $250 million. And the final thing I might point out to you is this. I'm running for president of the United States of America. This is the richest country in the history of the world. We have a nation for the first time in history where the primary health concern among poor people is obesity. I may have $250 million in my bank account, but I am telling you now that if I stand next to a person who's flat out broke, who hasn't got a penny, I do not live 250 million times better than that person does, not here in America. They have air conditioning, I have air conditioning. I have more rooms to air condition, but we both have air conditioning. They have a car, I have a few cars. I don't have 250 million cars, and the cars I do have are not 250 million times better than theirs. If I get hit by a bus, I'm taken to the same hospital as the poorest Americans, where I'm given the same treatment by the same doctors as the poorest Americans. I get the same antibiotics and the same medical treatment as the poorest Americans. And so the $250 million that is being used to demonize me as a person who's not an actual being, but rather a vampire, does not mean I live on a different planet than you. On the contrary, what it means is my entire philosophy is based on the idea that everybody should have $250 million, and that's why I'm not ashamed to talk about my bank account. And you can hear it again and again and again and again. Mr. Romney, you have $40 million in your assets overseas in overseas accounts. Would you like to explain that to the American people? I'd be delighted to explain it to the American people. I'm a money manager. My job is to put my money in the smartest place on earth. So, I have $40 million in overseas accounts, including Switzerland and the Cayman Islands. And rather than talking about whether or not I have money overseas, why don't we talk about why I have my money overseas? Why don't we talk about the fact that the United States of America has the 40th highest corporate tax rate? We used to be the lowest tax rate in the world, now we're number 40. Why is it that we're not talking about the policies and the procedures that this president and this administration have put in place that make the smart play putting my money overseas? Why don't we talk about changing the rules so that money managers and wealthy people from all over planet Earth are putting their money in America like they used to? Why don't we have that conversation? No. We don't have that conversation because we don't believe our own story. Now, because I get up and talk in front of groups like this every now and then, somebody says, well, Bill, are you going to run for office? I say, no, thank you. I have no interest in it, none whatsoever. And when people say, well, you make an interesting president, I'd say, there's no way that I could be president of the United States. I have no military experience. I've never run a business, for God's sakes. I mean, who could possibly clear that bar? The great thing about President Obama is he's actually left the presidential bar on the floor. Anyone can walk over that bar now. If Barack Obama can be president of the United States, literally anybody in the planet can be president of the United States. But just to tell you, I tell people, listen, I'm temperamentally not suited to be president. And I'm about to prove it to you. Because when I talk about the message and the messenger not matching, when I talk about our politicians in the Republican Party not believing their own message, I'd like to just give you an example of what that might sound like if you actually did in fact believe the way you say you believe. President Whittle, please tell us about the events that occurred around the consulate in Benghazi over the last week. What were you doing when you heard the news, and what did you do after that? My response would be as president, well, first of all, the only thing that I'm more terrified of than answering that question dishonorably is, or dishonestly, is to tell you the actual truth of what I was doing. And if the First Lady found out that I answered that question honestly, I would actually be more afraid of that outcome than the real one. But suffice it to say, that the President of the United States, once something is known to the national command structure, the President knows about it within 4 or 5 minutes. The President is never off duty. The President's never in the shower. The President's never away for the afternoon. So 5 or 6 minutes after that attack began on Benghazi, I was fully apprised of the situation. My immediate command was to authorize the in-extremist response force that we kept stationed in Italy and have stationed throughout the world. They told me those helicopters take 2 hours to get there. I launched them immediately. They were in the air within 15 minutes. My first actual command was to talk to the Chief of Naval Operations and ask him how far away our nearest carrier battle groups were. He said they were about a 22-minute flight time at the top speed of an F-18. I said, I want F-18 Hornets over that consulate now. I want them 300 feet above the ground. I want them supersonic. I want sonic booms over that city between now and when those helicopters arrive. I want our people to know that we're coming, and I want those people to know that we're coming. And if we break every window in Benghazi, they can bill us.
Send me the bill. I'll chip in. But it is interesting, and I hope you're enjoying Bill Whittle. We're going to come back with more from Bill after the break. But in the meantime, you know, we've just now started to launch that new newsletter we've been talking about. And if you'd like to see a free copy to evaluate it, please email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. I would be happy to send you a copy. I think you'll find nothing better on the street than the newsletter that we have put together for you with traders that have over 150 years of experience in the market. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Make sure you do check out thebubbashow.org. We have made tremendous amounts of changes to make it even better for you. We're going to stop out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we'll be right back with more from Bill Whittle after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Thumbing my way into North Carolina, staring up the road and pray to God I see headlights. I made it down the coast in 17 hours, picking me a bouquet.
Traders, have you ever heard the term, there is no time like the present? Well, Bubba's here telling you there is no time like the present. The Badger and me have put together a series of webinars, a 12-week webinar package of teaching you options from the very beginning. In other words, if you don't know anything about options, it's for you. If you're very advanced in options, it's for you, because we're going to get to all of the strategies that you can possibly ever want to get to trade, invest, or protect your long-term portfolio. This will be a group that is a maximum size of 10 participants per webinar series, in which the Badger and I will teach you basically one-on-one how options work, how they trade, how they benefit you, and how to help you increase yield on your current portfolio or put yourself in a better place of trading going forward. All you need to do to get more information is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. There is a cost to this program, but email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org and I'll give you all the information that you need to know. Traders, are you tired of all the fear propaganda out there? Just a few years ago, the dollar was no longer going to be the reserve currency. Are you tired of hearing all the crap from everybody who's trying to settle and peddle you fear? Well, listen to me. Bubba here has decided to assemble a staff of the top traders, and these are real traders, in the world, putting together a monthly newsletter for you, the individual trader, talking about what's going on in the markets, what we expect to go on in the markets, and how to help you profit from them. It's strictly going to be news-related, telling you things we're seeing and things you should be looking for. Now, this is going to have a cost. It's going to be $99 a year. I've got the top experts in the world, all names that you will recognize that are all real traders. To get involved, just email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. The cost is $99 a year to get this monthly report every single month. So email me now at bubba@thebubbashow.org. Advisors and investors, it's 2015. The stock market has not gone ahead a 10% correction for over 5 years. I think it's time for you to check out my friends over at Circle Squared Alts. At Circle Squared Alts, ALTS.com. That's our friend Jeff Sika, who has an alternative investment strategy that will help you become a better investor, a better trader, and it's great at matching trader to advisor. We have a program that helps advisors and teaches how to hedge out a normal portfolio without having to get out of your portfolio. We also have advice for investors and how to direct them to the right advisor. So if you're an advisor or if you're an investor, you have to check out Circle Squared Alts, ALTS.com. My man, Jeff Sika, and check it out, because I'm telling you right now, we all need more and a better way to trade and invest. Check it out, CircleSquaredAlts.com. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you today. And, you know, I hope you're enjoying the interview we're playing. I think that Bill Whittle makes a lot of good points. I think, again, you know, as we always say, you know, I think there's some really solid information to be thought about. And again, we want to think about it. We all know that everything isn't going to be perfect, no matter who's in office or what's going on. We know there's always an agenda behind what's going on. You know, if we go back to the Wizard of Oz, you know, who's behind the curtain? So there's always an agenda. But I think that I enjoyed myself listening to this, and I think that you should be, hopefully you're enjoying it. And please send me some comments as to what you're seeing and what you're thinking. But I do believe in a lot of what Bill Whittle says, and I think that it's interesting, and I'd like to hear your views on as well. Let's get back to the interview with Bill Whittle. This has been very exciting, so let's go back to it right now.
Now, you called the result a debacle. Yes, it's absolutely true. When our helicopters arrived on the scene, we were too late to save that ambassador. We were too late to save those brave SEALs that died. An RPG shot down one of our helicopters and 14 SEALs were killed in the rescue attempt, and it was called a catastrophe and a debacle. It's a catastrophe and a debacle not to go. I do it again tomorrow. Our people around the world need to understand that when Americans at risk, America is going to come to their aid, whether we get there in time or not. That's what a president who actually believes this stuff sounds like. Mr. President, Iran just shot at an unmanned drone over the international waters in the Persian Gulf. Care to comment on that? I would care to comment on that. The Republic of Iran has been at war with the United States of America since 1979. We haven't been at war with them, but they've been at war with us. So, starting this evening at midnight, I am now initiating a new policy. Please listen carefully. Of the 4,000 people we lost in Iraq, many of those men and women, most of those brave men and women, were killed by improvised explosive devices that were either planned by, designed by, supplied by, detonated by, constructed by Iran. So, as of midnight tonight, the next time that an American serviceman is killed, the Republic, which we can trace conclusively to Iranian involvement, well, the next time an American serviceman is killed, the Republic of Iran will lose an installation. Maybe an army barracks, it might be a patrol boat, it might be an anti-aircraft installation, but they will lose an installation. And for every American that's killed, they'll lose another installation. And if the Republic of Iran launches a terrorist attack upon American citizens, they will lose all of their installations. I will wipe their military off the face of the earth within 48 hours and leave them naked to their enemies for 500 years, because we can. Because we can. My job as president is to defend our servicemen. I wasn't handed 14 carrier battle groups by the American people so that I could hold them in reserve against some day. That day is here now. We welcome the people of Iran back into the world, the ancient civilization, marvelous, magnificent, cultured people who deserve a lot better than what we've got. And when I say they're going to lose an installation, I'm including the general headquarters of the army. So you generals in Iran might want to keep this consideration foremost in your mind. This is what it sounds like when you actually believe in the civilization that you claim to represent. This is what it sounds like when you believe that civilization is worth preserving. And until we can find a messenger who's ready to combine that with the message, we are going to be worried about things like paths to 270 and getting out the vote software for the rest of time. But when we find that combination, the entire year prior to the election is going to be time to have a margarita, because the results will be a foregone conclusion. The only question will be, will it be a 45-state win like Reagan had in 1980, or will it be a 49-state win like he had in 1984? Those are the only questions that are going to concern us. Because our message, unlike many of our messengers, our message is unbeatable. Think about this. the Democrats and the liberals, with the entire bias of all of the news media, with all of the movie stars that came out, with all of the press that they got and then didn't get, with the media throwing their cloak of invisibility, a 30-point poll advantage on Benghazi and all this other stuff, with every single thing that they're doing right, and they're doing everything right. They're doing everything right. And then you look at all the things we do wrong, it's still a 50-50 country. It still is. How little do we have to do effectively? How little do we actually have to do right so that we never lose another election again, ever, ever? It's astonishing to me that we can be so bad at so much and they can be so good at everything. And it's a 50-50 proposition. Does anybody really honestly think that that means these two messages are the same? They're not. I'm going to let you eat your dinner now, but I will tell you the difference between our two messages. The conservative idea of America is that we're a nation of steely-eyed missile men with our eyes on a far horizon. The future is unlimited. There's nothing we can do or not do. We have the power to vaporize a building anywhere in the world at our leisure. We have footprints and a flag on the moon. We believe in the power of the human mind and human creativity, human inventiveness, hard work, imagination. We believe that everyone should live like they have $250 million. We believe it's time for you to step off, get out of our face, don't tell us what to do. You have a right to live the way you want to in America. That's our message. And what's their message? What is their vision for humanity's future on this progressive left we find ourselves against? Their vision of a future for America is a bunch of people sitting around in thatch huts, sitting around a burning cow pie, pulling parasites off of each other, eating their sustainable algae cakes, and having, you know, organic bake sales to raise money for the Guatemalan water snake. Are you actually telling me that these two visions are equivalent? Of course they're not. Of course they're not. I'm going to make a bold prediction here. A bold prediction. I predict the next president of the United States, I'm convinced he's going to be a conservative. I'm convinced he's going to be a Republican. But I'm going to go against expectation here and tell you that I think the next president of the United States is going to come from the pop culture, from the general culture. Because you cannot run against your own mythology and win, ever. When they own the mythology, we will never win. So our next president is going to be a man who can answer a question like this. Mr. President, please tell us about your opinion on the Second Amendment. And a president who comes from the pop culture will be able to turn to the people of this country and say, well, the Second Amendment is the document that allows me to carry this handgun right here. I have this handgun so that I can kill bad guys. And if you don't think that's important, next time you go to the next James Bond movie, you imagine him going on that mission armed with a sternly worded letter from the United Nations. That's why we have a Second Amendment. Enjoy your dinner, and we'll see you a little bit later on tonight.
And that was Bill Whittle that, you know, we've used him before here on the show, and certainly, you know, makes a lot of good points and, you know, kind of in the theme with... you know, the Bubba Show here in general, okay, is that the country itself is in a mess. You know, again, as you look back at what's going on throughout the world, as you look at the global economies melting away, and as you look at what we see and what we have to look forward to, and the way that we now react to all of the different situations, isn't very good, okay? It isn't very exciting. We have issues. There are issues to be dealt with. And unfortunately, the people that are in charge of dealing with these issues are not doing a very good job. And I think that is something that we need to take very seriously as we move into the next election, into the next campaigns, and into hearing all this hogwash and ridiculous crap that they spew throughout the overall business that is the United States of America. I think that it's a sad state of affairs when we have to sit back and really watch what I would consider a disintegration of free markets, capitalism, and of course the American way, or if we go back to Superman, Clark Kent, you know, the American freedom in the American way, for justice, freedom in the American way. Because right now, based on the way things are being run, based on what's going on, and again, it doesn't only fall on President Obama's lap as much as most of it does, or a lot of it does, but more that he gets out there and tells us how good he is when he has not been very good. But he is not alone to blame for the disaster that we are now approaching. You know, again, we can compare it to the stock market, that the stock market's in great shape, but the average American is not. And that's something that I think we need to take a long, deep look at. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. We did listen to a Bill Whittle interview, and I think that it was enjoyable, and, you know, there was obviously some good tongue-in-cheek, but that'll take us through today. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. We have made a tremendous amount of changes, and I've started to get our new newsletter out, and I'd love to get a copy to you to check out for your opinions. If you'd like that, email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. Until tomorrow, everybody have a great day. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later. Have a great day, everybody.
Put some feel good in my soul. Drink a little drink, smoke a little smoke. Want a little more right and a little less left. A little more right now.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.